Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Looking this morning at the sons of Abraham, so Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine here. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then Genesis 15 and verse 22. And the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Got mixed up here. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thy God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that saith me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare him, Ishmael. And Abram was fourscore and 6 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Then in chapter 18, verses 1 to 15, And the Lord God appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the door of the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and he said, My Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye, your hearts, and that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as I have said. And Abram hasted unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth, on the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given child suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abram made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abram, Let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a skin of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were, a bowshot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And as she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened the eyes, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad and grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. We're approaching these scriptures this morning from the viewpoint that we often have heard preached, that the Arab-Israeli conflict which rages today stems from Abraham's relationship with Hagar, resulting in the birth of their son Ishmael. God has promised Abraham a son, but after 10 years waiting, Sarah decides to take matters into her own hands and proposes that they could have a son through Hagar the Egyptian. Through Hagar the Egyptian maid, Sarah's maid, as Sarah presumed that Sarah was barren and could have no children. Then when Abram is 86 years old, Hagar bears Ishmael to Abram, as in verse 16, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. In these verses we read of the first surrogate mother, Hagar, and we know that at this present time that we live in, that surrogacy is a very popular thing to do today among couples who are not able to produce children. It may be a wife for her husband, or a man seeks a surrogate mother for his male partner. And the surrogate mother in these instances today are often well paid for their services. But this was not the case for Hagar, as Hagar was Sarah's slave and would not have had any say in this matter. She would have to do as Sarah told her. Then when Hagar conceives, Sarah realizes that this was a bad idea and that she has made a mistake in giving Hagar to Abram to conceive a son. As we read in verse 5, "And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." And here we see that after Hagar has conceived, that she has lost respect for Sarah, and probably now sees herself as a wife to Abraham rather than as a slave to Sarah. But Abram takes Sarai's part and does not interfere when Sarai lays down the law, as it were, and deals hardly with Hagar. So when Hagar sees that she has lost in this battle with Sarai, she runs away and flees into the wilderness. Then with Sarai and Hagar, we can see that there can be problems involved with the partaking in surrogacy to solve the problem of a wife's infertility or barrenness. Then when Hagar fled into the wilderness, in verse 7, we find that the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And Ishmael means God shall hear. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thy God seest me, for she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And here we see that when Hagar flees from Sarai into the wilderness, that the Lord finds her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, in the way to Shur. And the Lord tells her that she will bear a son and call his name Ishmael, and that Ishmael will be a wild man, and that he will be against every man, and that every man will be against him, and that the Lord would multiply Hagar's seed exceedingly, that it should not be numbered for multitude, so many that they could not be counted. So Hagar obeys the Lord and returns to her mistress Sarai and submits herself under Sarai's hand. Then in 17:15 we read, And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. We have seen in the previous verses that the Lord told Hagar that he would bless Ishmael and his descendants, a multitude which could not be counted. And here we see the Lord telling Abram that he will bless Ishmael and make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, that 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And then in 21 verse 1, And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abram that Sarah hath given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abram made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abram mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abram, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a skin of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. At this great feast to celebrate Isaac being weaned, Sarah observes Ishmael, who is now about 15 years old, mocking the young child Isaac in some way which she did not like, and demands that Abraham cast out Hagar and Ishmael, which is grievous to Abraham. But during the night, the Lord comes to Abraham and commands him to obey Sarah. So Abraham rises up early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. In this action of Abraham's, we can see him to be so very cruel and callous in sending Hagar and Ishmael off into the wilderness of Beersheba with only some bread and a skin of water. But this action was grievous to Abraham, and he only obeyed Sarah when the Lord commanded him to do so. Rather than seeing Abraham's action to be cruel and callous, we could see that it is another example of Abraham believed God and he counted to him for righteousness. Because God had said, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And also the Lord said, "Of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation." Abram was able to cast Hagar and Ishmael out into the wilderness of Beersheba with only some bread and a skin of water because he believed God and that God would look after them and make Ishmael a great nation. Then would any of us have had the faith to cast them out into the wilderness with only some bread and a skin of water, believing that the Lord would make them a great nation, rather than them perishing in the wilderness through lack of food and water? Then in verse 21:15 we read that the water was spent in the skin, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were, a bowshot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat her over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And Hagar and Ishmael's experience reminds us of Romans 8, verse 28, which states that, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And we can see how this worked out in the life of Hagar, as she was sold as a young girl as a slave to Abraham in Egypt, forced to become a surrogate mother to bear a son to Abraham and Sarah without becoming wife to Abraham. Then after bad treatment by Sarah, she runs away to the wilderness in the way to Shur and God finds her there by a fountain of water and tells her to return to her mistress. God tells her to return to her mistress Sarai and to submit to her, and informs her that she will bear a son called Ishmael and make him a great nation. Then she and Ishmael are cast out into the wilderness of Beersheba with some bread and water, and God again finds her and promises to bless her and Ishmael and make of him a great nation. And here we see a slave girl from Egypt who meets with the Lord, not once, but twice, and whom the Lord blesses. She can testify that, "Thy God seest me," for she said, "Have I also here looked or seen him that seeth me?" And consider, if she had remained in Egypt, would she have ever come to know the Lord? And would we be reading about her this morning? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Like Abraham and Sarah, we all, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can also make wrong decisions and suffer their consequences. But God, in his sovereignty, is able to make good out of our bad decisions, as well as of the good decisions that we make. And as a tapestry viewed from the wrong side shows a maze of interlocking stitches, but viewed from the right side shows a complete picture. And so the complete picture of a believer's life will not be seen until we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. As God works all things out together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, we read that in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenziites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephidims and the Ammonites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." And in Genesis 17 verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And in verse 19, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." And in Genesis chapter 24, verse 19, we read, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abram begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 3 years old when she bare them. Jacob and Isaac was three score years old when Isaac was born. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, and the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave on to Abraham. And then in Genesis 32 and 24 we read, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has thy power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" In these verses, we see that the Lord makes an everlasting covenant with Abram, with Isaac, and Jacob, saying, "Unto thy seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of Canaan." And as we have read, that the Lord changes Jacob's name to Israel, meaning God rules, that all the land of Canaan, from the Nile to Euphrates, belongs to Israel forever. But as to date, Israel has not been in possession of this land, as the most part of the land of Canaan that Israel ever possessed was in the days of King David and King Solomon. But one day, Israel will possess all the land which the Lord has given them, which will happen when the Lord himself shall return to reign and rule in righteousness from Jerusalem. As Revelation 19:11 states, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame as fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was called and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 1 we read that after Sarah died, that then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Simram and Joscan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And here we see that Abraham had six more sons born to him by his wife Keturah, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while yet he lived, eastward into the land, unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. Then Abram gave up the ghost and died in good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron the son of Zor the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abram purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abram buried, and Sarah his wife. In these verses we read of the death and burial of Abraham, and notice that it is his sons Isaac and Ishmael who bury him, and that there is no mention of his other sons, Simram, Joscan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak and Shua, being present at his burial. And that when Abraham sent Zimran, Jashkin, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua away from Isaac into the east country, that he did so with gifts. And that when Abraham sent Ishmael away into the wilderness, he gave him only bread and water. And yet after this poor treatment by Abraham to Ishmael, Scripture records that Abraham's sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. And in verse 25 and verse 12, and in Genesis 25 and verse 12 we read, "Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Neboth, and Kedar, and Abdel, and Midsam, and Midsam, and Duma, and Misham, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Teman, Jatur, Naphish, and Kedma. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separate from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And in chapter 35, verse 27, "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abram and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 104 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." In these verses we see that Ishmael had 12 sons and that Isaac had 2 sons, and we see the death and burial of Ishmael and Isaac, and that the story continues with Isaac's 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis 36, 1-12, we read that, "And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife." And then in Exodus 17, verse 8, we read, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial and a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembering of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And in Judges 7, verse 12, Gideon smites Amalek. Then twice by Saul in 1 Samuel 19 and 48. And then twice by King David in 2 Samuel 27, 9, 30-17. In these verses we see that Amalek is the son of Esau and not Ishmael. and that Amalek is at war with Israel continually, but is always defeated by Israel. And God said in Malachi 1 and 3, and in Romans 9 and 13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. In Exodus 17 verse 8, we read, then came Amalek. Here Israel were on their way to the promised land, having been redeemed by God out of Egypt. And Amalek, a type of Satan, came to stop them. And so when we as believers today in the Lord Jesus Christ are redeemed today out of this world system, then Satan attacks with temptations. And Peter warns us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walk about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And James tells us to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we are shown by the Lord how to resist the devil when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted by the devil. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all this shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. And Jesus answering and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And here we see that the Lord resisteth the devil by quoting the word of God. And in Revelation 12 and 10 states that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. And so we see that when the devil tests us by temptation, and then if we know the word of God, we can resist him and he will flee from us. And Galatians 2 and 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then in Genesis chapter 25, verse 4, we saw that Midian, whose name means strife, was a son of Abraham born to Keturah. Then in Numbers 31:3, we see their cities destroyed by Moses and Israel. And then in Judges 6 and 8, they are subdued by Gideon. Then in Genesis chapter 19 and 38, we see that Ammon is the son of Lot by his youngest daughter. And then in Judges 11:4-33, they, the Ammonites, make war on Israel and are undefeated by Jephthah. Then in 1 Samuel 11 and 1, Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, and were then slain by Saul and Israel. And again in 2 Samuel 12 and 26, they are slain again by Job and King David and Israel. Then in recent times, Israel has been attacked by the Syrians, by the Egyptians, by the Jordanians and the Palestinians, whom Israel have again defeated. And as we said at the start of this message, that we were looking at the sons of Abraham from the viewpoint that the Arab-Israeli conflict today is a result of Abraham's son Ishmael by Hagar. And as we have seen from all our Bible readings this morning, that all these enemies of Israel are the sons of Esau, Midian, and Lot. Then in Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the After the glory hath he sent me unto thee, unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and I shall be, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. He which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Would you admit the meeting in prayer, David?
Father, we give you thanks and praise you once again for our gathering this morning. And our gathering is unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Saviour. And we thank you, Father, for our time here in thy word, for thy word is truth. It's a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And we know, Father, that what thy word will never fail. We know thy word is truth, Father. As our brother has been reading, Lord, from the time of Abraham unto the very time of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know it's that line. And we thank you, Father, for all things work together for God. And we thank you, Father, that as we've sat here and listened, Lord, you are in control of everything. As we look round the world today, Lord, we can see how things are deteriorating, Lord. And we know, Father, that it's deteriorating because they've no God. They don't want a God. They don't want a Saviour, Father. And all these things, Lord, we believe that you are speaking to mankind in our times, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the help that you have given Sam here, Lord. We know the long Bible readings, Lord. But for those that don't know the book, we know, Father, they can sit down and they can go through that and trace it, Lord. That all these things, Lord, how they've come to be and how they've happened, Lord. And how that thou art still in the control. Thou failest not, Father. And the Father, we know you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not. Oh, yeah. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we praise you for the help for our brother this morning, Lord. That you have led him this way, and we thank and praise you, Father. It's good to sit again, Father, and listen through and go through the word of God. And we thank you and praise you, Father, because we love the word of God here. And we pray, Father, that those that were given in the technology, Lord, that they would hear something that would bring them to the Saviour. That's our heart's desire. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise you in the Saviour's love and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.